Something with a C. the Black Eyed Susan card is set, except for the Black Eyed Susan. Exactly. It's the Black Eyed Susan card without the Black Eyed Susan yet. Although we do know that it's a field of 13. Yeah, the 13 filled the entry box. It's a very, very good Friday feature. And along with, I think, well, we got five, I think, other stakes on Friday. And right now, the last I heard, and I haven't checked in the last few hours, and frankly, the way these classic fields have morphed, going back, of course, to Derby, you gotta check refresh every couple of minutes. Right now, last I heard, field of nine. Dave Joseph, I think downstairs somewhere. So when Dave comes up, we'll see if there's any news from anybody else adding their name to the Preakness entry list. I mean, they'll know by probably nine. Well, that's 9 o'clock now. They'll probably know in the next hour or two if anybody else threw in. Over the weekend, there was a development, and Tim Yakteen, ready to go again. Armagnac, no Messier, no Taba that are reorganizing. Armagnac, not just a flavorful aperitif, or Armagnac. Is it like a port? Armagnac, I think it's like a port. It's not something I've ever, even when I did drink, I never Armagnac'd it up. Armagnac tea. Ah! It's going to be that kind of day, everybody. Armagnac teen. I love it. That's pretty good. The McPeak, McPeak had already pretty much eliminated his other considerations, but creative minister. So here's what you're looking at. The group, as we know it, Epicenter, Secret Oath, Simplification, who's tearing it up in the mornings here. Simplification, enjoying being the only horse in the stake barn. Early voting, of course, and there were yesterday or Saturday now, I guess. I'm losing track of days. I'll tell you about the weekend in a minute. Because that's your priority, right? Hearing what Tina and I did all weekend. Well, I drove here yesterday, so that I did on my own. a rare circumstance of late. Me considering Tina thinks either I've played the bad eye, either I've played that to the hilt, and she now believes I can't drive, so that she's driving us most often, or. You know, she really just doesn't like the way I drive. One or the other. She says that I waver on the wheel. I don't feel it. She says, you don't feel that. You're shaking the wheel. No, I don't feel it. But I don't know. I may have cultivated that. There you go. If you're looking for a way to to have your significant other take over the driving duties, yeah. Creative Minister, Armagnac, Skippy Longstocking, Un Ojo, and Happy Jack. And if you were listening, by the way, for those that were listening to the replay from Friday, what a fun, as always. Paul Matisse for any length of time. Short period, extended visit. You know, we did about 45 minutes on Friday, if you were just listening now to the replay. So good. So interesting. I mean, the way he looks at races and the figures that are his own figures that he makes. And I'm sure he put Happy Jack on your radar, right? You put him on mine. So That's the nine as of as we know it right now, and I'll see if anything else has changed over, you know, over the last couple of hours. It's a pretty day here, and it's actually kind of in and out now that I'm looking outside. I see a little darkness off to what would be the north, and but the sun right now is shining, and as I was pulling in today, the two of the NBC vans, the big Sunday night football vans, that they were coming in through the gate. We had to wait while they sort of found they're always run sort of perpendicular to the building, and they were slowly pulling in. So NBC ready to lay down all the cable. There was actually, in fact, I should really tweet that. Johnny D sent me a fabulous piece from a, was it, is it called sporttech.com? Something tech. Something tech. Tech world, sporttech.com, something. I'll find it. We're going to talk to Johnny at 10 o'clock back in the Johnny D hour. Migliori went to the Rangers game last night. He put up pictures of himself with famed tough guy Nick Fatiu. So Mig sent me a text early this morning. He said, I'll say it the way the text read. I can't possibly do the show. I was at the Rangers game. So Mig begged off till tomorrow, which gave me the big opening we were looking for. Of course, the Rangers, a overtime winner last night, and win the series. And so mayhem must have ensued at the world's greatest arena. And we'll hear about it tomorrow from, I'm just thinking. Go Kings Go got beat. So it felt bad for Jay Pribman, but feel good for Dave Greinke and Mig and all the Ranger fans, of which there are many. There is that big crossover, the racing hockey crossover. So we'll hear from Mig tomorrow. But that opened the door to reinstall Johnny D in his rightful place in the broadcast landscape. 10 o'clock. This morning, got a bunch of things actually for Johnny, and I wanted to get him last week for his Derby recap, but he ended up with early morning golf. You can see what's occupying Johnny's time. He had early golf games on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so he's making the most of his time off. So Johnny D today, Rudy Brissett, by the way, in about 10 minutes, we'll talk to Rudy, who sent out, obviously, a resurgent We the People, who recaptured his maiden and allowance mojo. Was being asked to do a lot in that Arkansas Derby, but terrific performance in the Peter Pan. And there is a part of this, and I will ask Rudy, because he gets on his horses, and the one thing, and if you listen to Andy yesterday and after the race on Saturday, the one issue you get with that racetrack, with the sealed, and I think they called it sealed sloppy, I don't know how, it really wasn't that sloppy, but you know, there was some rain mid-card, and it kind of created a little bit of a weird surface, I think. So you, to some degree, you don't really know how much to take away from that effort. But it went fast, and he did it easy under Flavian Pratt. I got a funny story to talk about with Flavian, where he's got a 3-day suspension he's got to serve. I mean, he shows up for 10 minutes and they sit him down for 3 days. You got Arad Ortiz out there like Lancelot, at a medieval times, using his using his mount as a battering ram, that's no problem. But Flavian Pratt's here 3 minutes, and they sit him down. Just an aside. Anxious to hear from Rudy, because certainly we, the people, finish that race. The mile and a half is not going to be an issue. The continuing on beyond the mile and the eighth. So the other thing I want to ask him about, I picked Western River. I wanted to go for the longer price, and he had a bad start. He basically gave the race away, stumbling at the break. And then I thought he ran very well, actually, from that point. And I'm curious what he thinks about Western River. And I'm sure Cassie will go forward with Golden Glider. Chad's horse that was lightly raced, too, that ended up third in the photo with Golden Glider and electability. So the disappointment was Set Sail, who you kind of expected to be prominent early and wasn't prominent at any point. And we'll talk about Set Sail in a different context. That's actually something else I want to bring up with Johnny. The L&J Foxwood story, basically pulling their horses out of Southern California. They'll leave their handful of horses in Northern Cal with Blaine Wright. But if you didn't see that story, they also retired United, if you didn't got those together. We'll talk about United. And you know who else, speaking of horses like United, Acclimate. Acclimate came out with a little issue, Phil D'Amato said, and they retired Acclimate. Nice horse. Talked about him so many times. 8 for 31 with another 11 board hits. Calbred, of course, that was able to, in fact, he leaves the stage a winner. I forgot that he won the San Luis Rey as his last start. So that's kind of a nice way to go out. Won the San Luis Rey, won the San Juan Capistrano last year, won the Del Mar Handicap back in 19, won the San Juan Capistrano in 19. Very, very nice career. Some Calbred stuff, like the Cal Dreamin' at Del Mar. Is a nice, nice horse. Acclimate. The Elwood Johnson Trust, plus Timmy Time Racing. And bred by Old English Rancho, Acclimate. So we'll get back to the L&J story, which also has connections to the Richard Baltus story that we mentioned on Friday. There's not a lot of other information to add other than the moving of horses out of the barn to a variety of trainers. So we'll. We'll certainly get to that. I want to add, Johnny, with all the decades on the West Coast, I don't know what anybody can say other than that this is difficult and problematic situation in California. So, because a healthy California is important to the entire, and Highland Chief and. Speaking of horses that didn't take money, it shouldn't have been, should absolutely not have been that kind of price. 10 to 1, okay, maybe 12 to 1, but you got yourself, if you were savvy enough, and there were a couple of people when it came to the pick five, there were a couple of people that were smart. I think I picked him third and thought that he was a price, but it didn't feel like you needed to go much beyond Gaffoe and Yabir. So two winners I know of 160,000 in that pick five that ended there. How about that? Not so bad. Trevor McCarthy's first grade one win, which Graham was surprised. I'm sure he'll talk about it. We may reach out for it. I wouldn't mind getting Trevor on for his reaction. But Highland Chief, Very, very nice. Second time North America. And a Glen Eagles for Mrs. Hay. And out of a Manchu mare. Very nice. And the five-year-old. Second North America. Very impressive. And that wasn't just a question of him, you know, getting over, you know, obviously the turf at that point, they called it firm, but the rain was fairly steady, I think, at that point. And I mean, he really ran. He came away with a triple digit fig too, 103 buyer, a 105 buyer, I should say. The 103 was for We the People, which puts him right up in terms of, you know, best 3-year-old figure of the year. You had Bella Sofia come back a winner, and that was exciting. That was an exciting race that started the stakes action early on the card. And Frank's Roquette was coming with purpose, but Luis Saez, Bella Sofia, for Michael Imperio and partners, Vince Scuderi involved, Parkland Thoroughbreds, Medallion. Nice way to return, and Rudy said there's no real, you know, there's no real urgency, no timetable per se, for getting her to the Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint. They'll take their time. Speaking of sprints, and we should really reach out for Dave Duggan. Nice performance by Drafted, and you got a decent 860 was a very nice price. He ended up going off as the fourth choice. I only used Drafted and Chateau as A's. And in fact, Nick, I'm pretty sure you might have. Did Nick mention using Highland Chief as a backup, as a C? But 860 was a nice price on Drafted. This is the Dublin Fjord stable. Field commission, gelding, and if you read my analysis, one thing I did note was that getting Jose Ortiz back aboard, I thought was significant, because Ortiz kept him in the toboggan win. Ortiz kept him closer than he typically has been ridden, and did the same thing here, and it made a difference again. So clearly, Ortiz has a nice feel for where to position Drafted. He wins the run happy, run happy. There was one other. What's the other stake? How about, boy, Chad, wow. Rogier, the expensive Peter Brandt and Tabor Territories filly. Flavian Pratt just rode her like she was 3-5, but he just rode her like, you know, she could inhale that field at any time, and she did. Batehu ran very well in there. That Mark Cassie and Mrs. Weber have got to be thrilled. Our Flash Drive ran a very courageous race and did not move at the right time. Dylan Davis, good job. Our Flash Drive kind of picks up the head in the bogey. But Rogier, she's going to be a problem. One of many problems that are at Chad's disposal, right? Unbelievable. So that was the majority of the stakes action. California, Neige Blanche for Leonard Powell won the Santa Barbara, if you didn't see that. What else? We had, the Iroquois, Jack Fisher, snap decision. There you go. Nice job winning the Iroquois, first grade one of the year over the fences. Congratulations to our friend Andy Simoff, Simoff Transportation. Andy with the Jersey bred Alta Velocita as the favorite and with Paco, but wins the Spruce Fir. And then yesterday, Kelly Breen with the Royal Urn won the Riley. So first two Jersey bred stakes of the season at Monmouth. We got to catch up, actually. I know we're going to get inundated with Preakness Black Eyed Susan stuff because we'll have both cards complete to start analyzing tonight and into tomorrow. But I do want to get a Monmouth situation. I got a couple of notes from people that have gone over, and they're happy because they've bet a few horses on the fixed odds and got as much as, I don't know, twice. My friend Randall from Jersey. Randall went over, and horse, forget who it was, but horse went off on the board at 5-2, and he got, I think, close to 5-1. I think he got 9-2 or 5-2, maybe even 6-1. So, you know, it's an imperfect scenario, but it you know, feeling its way. Hopefully, you know, hopefully it were. I know that they had some tote questions and issues, that they had some transmission of price that were out of whack the last couple of days. But we'll get an update on how the fixed odds is being received and so forth. One other stake also, the postponed Long Branch from last Saturday, Dash Attack. This was exciting, actually, if you didn't see it. Dash Attack and the horse of Pletcher's. Oh, I'm going to forget. I'm sure I've got it somewhere. But Dash Attack for McPeak wins the Long Branch. We've had two Long Branches, and it's whatever it is, May 16th, and there's been a Long Branch already at Monmouth, and you had a Long Branch up at Woodbine. Speaking of Woodbine and the Jacques Cartier, Arzak, Trombetta, boy, we talked about that with Mike. I got to reach out to Trombetta, see if we're going to get, a Little Italy dinner in with Trombetta. He was raised right there in Little Italy, right downtown in Baltimore. Where'd we go? His place, De Moma, I think, is his. Used to be a wonderful Italian place in Montreal, Da Emma, but in the place in Baltimore, he took me. With the mayor was, I think, De Moma. Yeah. There's a bunch of good, for those who've never done that, if you've never done the Little Italy in Baltimore. In fact, you know what it was? It was the draw. It was after a draw. And Mike said, you want to come? We're heading out to dinner. I said, sure. I'm not going to pass up a, on sponsorship, on scholarship with Trump. Let's reach for Rudy. Well, I don't want to be, because he's got a busy morning undoubtedly, and he gets on horses. So let me get let's reach out for Rudy, and I'll fit in. I got plenty of news and other information that you might find of interest. that, in fact, we'll talk when we talk to Graham Motion. He's got a pair of fillies in the Black Eyed Susan. He's got Divine Huntress and Candylight, both going. Yak Teen with a Dare Manor, who missed a little bit of training, and that's why she couldn't make the Oaks. There's a couple of operations to, I think, that have got some rooting, you know, some easy to root for, not that everybody isn't, but, Danny Pites, Begin, is, with Jose Ortiz, is a big part of the Black Eyed Susan picture. Chad's got Distinctly Possible with Irad, Favor, Pletcher, and Gaffleone. That Interstate Daydream comes back in the, Black Eyed Susan. For Brad Cox, Florent Giroux. The other big sentimental story, undoubtedly, Hammy Smith and Luna Bell. with Dennis Araujo. And Midnight Stroll shows up in here for the Gatsis family. John Terranova. Javi Castellano on board. Miss Yearwood for Ian Wilkes and Julian Leperoux. Louis Saez is going to ride for Gargan on Missy Greer. Morning matcha, Butchie Reed and Frankie Pennington coming to town. And Shook with Joel and Radio Days. There's your field of 13. All right. So, all right. Yeah, keep trying, Case. We'll catch them. The rest of Friday looks like this. You've got the Allaire DuPont starts the stakes action with race 8. It's a 14 race extravaganza. Yeah. The 8th is the first of the stakes, the Allaire DuPont, and looking forward to having Gary here. Siaka coming with Louis Lazanero, and that really nice exotic West that Gary and Louis claimed. She's going to be very well, I think, a likely favorite in here. She drew the rail, and Javi still aboard, of course. Jonathan Thomas in here, into Vanishing. Frost Point, who was third behind Exotic West at Aqueduct in the top flight. Norm Cassie's, it looks like the speed is super quick from Norm Cassie and John Ortiz, the little King's Princess as well. And then Sanchez Solomon, that horse of his is not going to, if you didn't see that, he's going to run in the Murphy. He's going to stay on the grass. But he's got Quick to Confirm in here. The Hilltop, the $100,000 three-year-old turf mile race. Pizza Bianca, you would expect to be a heavy favorite. Then we got the Miss Preakness, the terrific sprint for the fillies. Of course, the very, very one. And that the turf sprint. And then the Pimlico Special. Got a nice field, too, for the Pimlico Special. They got a group of 11. And you got a nice, then we'll, at the end of that, you've got the Black Eyed Susan. And then there's one race afterward. But the Black Eyed Susan will go as the 13th. Rudy Brissett is joining us after the return of We the People. And certainly was horse to be celebrated at Oaklawn, was asked to do a lot trying the Arkansas Derby, Rudy, and a little bit more time, a little bit, little chance to work with him, and comes back and was super impressive, annexing the Peter Pan, the traditional Belmont.
And after taking back, and I think the Oscar just got a little green, I think that gave him a little seasoning, a little experience, and then, we got him back at home in Kinland, and we really saw a big change when he got back to Kinland, mentally and physically, just blossom. And then mentally, he just felt like he was back home. And he was training very, very well until the race on Saturday.
Well, wet track. What were the thoughts when they sealed the track? Sometimes that's of concern.
You can't run on anything. That was not really. That was not my, our only worry was to make sure we bring him to the pony in good order. And then after that, he's not in our hands. So, it looks like the warm-up was quick and calm. And then everything went well after that, too.
What were your thoughts about him? I mean, technically, because Belmont, of course, is so unique, the situation that finds him going one turn for the first time.
Well, it's one turn, but you have, it's a mile and a half, and, it is a little bit special, but, it's something you find out when you try. You can always guess, but you don't know. That horse show speed from the gate before. He shows some tactical, and he's got that high cruising speed, so I just thought that track would be carrying his speed, and make a double effort to be able to follow him. He just have that eye high cruising spin, and it's a very good weapon on the dirt. And Belmont being that a big racetrack, he just carry him, you know.
Well, and you know, because sometimes the horse, and when they come to Belmont in general, there's aspects of it that are so unique, and so to keep basically running and running and running without a turn coming up, and then even when a turn comes up at Belmont, it's so sweeping and gradual that sometimes horses are wondering what's going on here, where's shouldn't I be out of the turn by now? But it seemed like he just, with every stride, especially in the stretch, he just kept widening his lead, and the next assignment goes from the 9 furlongs to the 12.
Yeah, well, like I say, he trained. We got him there on Tuesday before the race, and just the way he trained there, we feel he makes me even feel more confident about him running good on that track. And then now he looks good. Yesterday morning, I checked him yesterday morning. I flew back to Kentucky to check on my two barn in Kenan and Churchill, and I'm flying back there Tuesday afternoon in New York, and we got to keep him there. We don't need, the way he's been training there before the race on Saturday. We just want to keep it simple, and we got to have him there for 4 weeks and see what happens. And the 12 furlong, it's another question mark. It's something you can only guess. You can go back to his pedigree, you can go back to his racing, but he will be a guess. You got to try to find out.
Well, certainly by pedigree, and certainly by the appearance of the way he finished, it feels like the other portion of this won't be a problem. He's by constitution, out of that Tisnow mare. It just feels like this is something that, in some ways, that he was a little, a little bred to do. I thought everything looked very positive. Let's shift our gears from We the People, though, to the horse that I took a shine to over the winter, which is Western River, and I thought he ran sneaky good after that stumbling start.
Yeah, he's not a very good gate off. He usually put himself a little far back, and even more when we have pace. Not sure, he was kind of weird. A little bubbling. I don't know if we can call it a stumble, but he did bubble, and then people was loose on the lead and didn't really go he didn't go. Nobody really put pressure on him, so they were going an easy 47 and change, and I think he kind of hurt the gray horse a little bit, but. All around, I think the Bayer for him come back at 87, so that was pretty much the same Bayer than when he broke his maiden. We were hoping to finish in the trifecta. Got beat ahead and the neck for second. He's not ruled out of the Belmont, but we will have to see how he trains for the next 10 days, and then I will talk to the ownership, and then we will make a decision. But, He was a good fourth, and a couple of people came back to me and said they thought he would have been second if he didn't stumble. But you can redo the whole world.
given his sibling and creator's success, his full brother. It feels like it's worth a try to bring him back in the Belmont.
Yeah, he goes down to talent, Now he just have, he's got enough seasoning, enough experience. It just matter if he's talented enough. If you take that stumbling in consideration, and then you take the head and the neck for second, and if you think that's why he hurt you, well, yeah, of course you can always go back. But the other thing is, it's we're talking about a $40,000 fee. He was a waive fee if he ran second, so we didn't have to pay anything, and then now we have to pay $40 to enter and run. So it's it's a very expensive head and neck, but it is what it is. We got to see how he trained and then go from there and maybe see how the field is going to shaping up too, and then go from there.
Very good. Well, first and fourth when it comes to the Peter Pan on Saturday, We the People and Western River. Certainly, We the People sets himself up as one of the choices, you would think, for Belmont in a month. Meanwhile, a couple of things with Rudy Brissett that we can touch on. Rudy, give us a postscript from the Kentucky Oaks from Ugiri's tribe.
Well, I think she answered a couple of questions. We were unsure about the Mennonite, and that was one of the answers she gave us. I think the first half was a little too hot for us too. The 22 and change, 46 flat, and then she got tired. I guess it is what it is. You got to be in it to try to win it. We got the great stakes out the way with her. She's very valuable as a broodmare. So now, we can, we got to play week by week and see what happen. We were considering about the acorn, but, I think she got really tired and, I need to talk to the ownership, but, it could be, as now it will be a 50-50 for the acorn. I will see her more, come back, more in July maybe. And something like the Indiana Oaks or the Iowa Oaks could be a good spot to come back. We got a letter tell us, and obviously I got to talk to the owner and see what they want to do too. But it's definitely it was a great experience. I think those people flew from Japan, and I was able to meet them. They first time I think. Having a runner in the Oaks and they have a blast. So, it's always, you don't win the race, but, if you can bring people from, Japan is a very strong country now on the dirt. And if you can bring people like that, having fun here, maybe that will make them keep horses around here more often,
Absolute. She they'll have plenty of opportunities. They're out there. Let me touch on a couple of other recent winners and recent performances, including some stake tries. Hozier, I thought, ran okay in the marathon. That lone rock is impossible at these distances, but you couldn't be unhappy with that effort.
Yeah, that was very good. Same kind of idea. Got to give credit to the ownership of Hozier because they are very nice people and very game. I put the horse in there without really talking about what was the plan, and they told me if I think he's got a shot, go ahead and run him, and they were game, and the horse was game, and he ran a good second. The fact that the track was still, I think we could get a strong look on some of those long distance race on the grass. Maybe to give him a chance and try one time on the grass to see if we can revive his career a little bit. Just because he's got couple clunker after he won the he was second in the Rebel, sorry, for Mr. Buffett. So we just got to take race by race and see what he wants to do, but that was definitely a good effort.
Well, you also had, and speaking of the Ugiri connections, that Summer Anthem that broke the maiden at the end of Keeneland. That looks like a nice horse. He's just a 3-year-old gelding. He's by Temple City, but that was a nice effort.
Yeah, he's actually a horse we own. By that time, we owned him. September Farm, my wife and I, we owned the horse with a friend of ours. And so yeah, he won pretty nice here in Keeneland, and then we actually had him at the sale that day. So he's been sold. He went on the same day. Keeneland was very game when I make the joke. The horse came back from the race to the winner's circle to take a picture, and he was on the 29 April, the day of the they were having the that sale for Austin Beating Edge, and I make the joke to the Kinland people sale and said, can we add him? And he was like 2:30 in the afternoon, and the sale started at 6:30, and they took me on a joke, and they did a great job. We got him add, and you know, Gainsway sold him for us, and the horse got sold as the last heap of the sale.
So literally one of those old-fashioned paddock sales that kind of a throwback, and now I'm just pulling it up, and I see that the Wyckoffs, Kirk Wyckoff, Three Diamonds, bought the horse for $150,000.
Yeah, yes, I think they got him online. You know, he was, you know, it's off, we find as a short yearling in OBS in January in 2020. We didn't give the horse RNA, and we only give 7,000 or 8,000 for him. We just like the horse.
Wow.
And we give him plenty of time, and the fact we have the farm, we can if the horses need to be turned out, they've been turned out at home with us, and it's a great tool. And we were able to, you know, he was able to break his maiden, you know, solid enough, 82 Bayer, I think. But, you know, for the farm, we gotta keep them moving. And, he's gonna make a good living. He's a nice horse.
How about that? What a story. You paid 8,000, and between the 150,000 and then the earnings in the two starts, 70,000. So you turned 8,000 into 220,000.
Yeah, in 2 years. So if we do the math all the way, it was a little bit more than 8. But you know, obviously he was still a profit. But you know, it's the way we want to develop our farm, and you know, it's something where you have to know how to take the trainer hat and put the owner breeder hat on, and so when you know, if it's the right time and for the right people, if you stand the sell, you got to sell.
Very clever, Rudy. That I'm glad we did horseshoe on Wednesday.
Yeah, he's actually in as a main track only. It's a tough race, and we put him in as a main track only. It just looks like the weather can be a little iffy the next couple of days. So I think he could get a chance to run. We just have to see how much rain they're gonna get. But it looks like they're gonna get a good amount of rain. So obviously being in the stakes of the turf will make him look pretty good in that spot. Now it's we still have a lot to happen our way to get him the run, but. He's definitely in a right spot if the race comes up.
You know, it's a pretty smart placement as an MTO, and I'm just looking at the rest of this field now, and there's mostly turf horses. You're the only MTO, interesting that Rodolfo Sanchez Salomon, who we just talked about a little bit, who had thought about potentially running in the Preakness with Shake 'Em Loose. Shake 'Em Loose is entered in here, but he actually may also be entered potentially as a horse that, you know, is looking for the race to come off the turf. We'll have to get an update, because he's based right here. He's based in Maryland, Shake 'Em Loose. So kind of
interesting. I read something. He was running in the Murphy, you know, on the grass, I think.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that was his. That was the. But he did enter. He did enter this spot too.
Yeah, funny.
Well, Rudy, you got to be very excited. I mean, there's a few other horses, of course, that have come your way from the West Coast. Where's Black Adder? Where do you stand with him?
We actually sold him at the same sale. The same sale on the. Kinland, he got sold. You know, it's what the ownership, the group, SF, Starlight, and Sol Cumin, and all the partners, that's kind of the way we, you know, we've been working over the years, is if we try to develop the sources up to a grade one, but if they don't fit in a program, they're not scared of moving on with them, and you know, and then like this, you get people can buy horses ready, you know, key horses, like ready to run, and you don't have to do much in there, and it's a great market, and obviously we sold him at the Horse Racing Edge in Ecuador.
$250,000 to Claiborne, actually, listed as the agent, as the buyer, and we'll see where he ends up. Interesting. Well, and of course, speaking of these sales, there is another Fasig Tipton sale, a digital sale that is underway that goes to tomorrow, and there it is. You come in. Will you do anything at Timonium, Rudy? You got clients that anything on the 2-year-old front next week?
Yeah, we work pretty much every sale from weanling, yearlings, and 2 years old. So yeah, we will. I will maybe. I'm not sure I'm going to be there myself, but I got to fly back to Belmont to be with the people tomorrow afternoon. But definitely, I may have a runner in Pimlico on Saturday. In a Sir Barton, so if I go there, I could stick around. I'm not sure yet, but you know, we pretty much try to work every cell. We always try to find something you know, can run, obviously.
Who would you run in the Sir Barton?
We have two horses nominated there, but we've been looking at it for our horse named Brooklyn Diamond. His horse broke his maiden in Oakland for 75, and then came back and ran a really sneaky good second in Oakland in Alloance, and we may be looking at running him in there maybe.
Nice. All right, and I see this Brooklyn Diamond, and the other. I've got the nominations, actually. It just so happens. It's funny. You nominated Kuchar as well. Interesting for that spot. And you nominated everybody. We the people. Every 3-year-old you had, you nominated, it seems. I love it.
Well, you got to keep option. You got to keep option open.
Exactly. You got to keep a lot of condition books on the desk. Well, Rudy, big win, and clearly we the people with potential to be one of the top 3-year-olds going forward, but we knew that with that smashing debut and the beginning of the career at Oaklawn this winter. I appreciate it, and we'll see you, hope to see you here Saturday.
Well, I thank you for having me, and then, it's always a pleasure, and then hopefully see you Saturday, yes.
You bet. Rudy Brissett, everybody, and obviously in a nice position. And you can follow Rudy on Twitter, Brissett Rudolph with an E, and a lot of good things going on. I'm anxious to see. I forgot about the other 3-year-old race, the Sir Barton, and just looking at these noms. Which is one of the great resources at Equibase. And who might else show up? Brooklyn Diamonds. And this is one of the SF, you know, giant agglomeration partnership horses that hasn't gotten nearly as much mention as the more prominent ones. Happens to be out of Delightful Mary, who we've got a lot of affection for. You'll remember the Cassie. Remember the Cassie filly, Delightful Mary? We liked her. It was Jack Oxley and an Uncle Mo. It's interesting. The maiden claim. They dangled this horse in a maiden claimer, and considering how much claiming was going on at Oaklawn, $75,000 for an Uncle Mo, and nobody bet. How about that? And then came back, and as Rudy mentioned, second in an allowance. And who was he behind? Presidential, the Asmussen for Don Adam, the Pioneer of the Nile. So Brooklyn Diamonds. All right, there's maybe a mid-calendar, a mid-season 3-year-old to watch. and you can look for in the Sir Barton. All right. We got a couple of minutes to the top of the hour, so we'll stay here and before the break, and then we'll get Johnny in here. Let me mention some Churchill results as well from the weekend, and very nice push. I hope everybody, I know a few people did, because they were chattering about it on Twitter. Terrific piece of opinion from Scott Shapiro. How about Twilight Blue, that Air Force Blue Colt by Joe from Joe Sharp with Brian Hernandez Jr. And I was all about Mask Parade. The two of them to the wire, and Twilight Blue just out finishes, or I guess you could hold off Mask Parade and Brian's brother Colby. 21-20 for those that latched on to Twilight Blue. And if you hooked up Shap and my preference for Mask Parade, you got yourself an $86 exacta for $2. So nice job by Shap. That was great. And also on Friday, there was in that two-year-old filly race that we mentioned that had the first Accelerate starter, and it ended up being Dazzling Dominica that broke the maiden, a Go Sapper filly that set off a very nice celebration for Will Walden, Elliot's son, and a very nice story for Walden. 31, 32, and Ready Made Racing, first career win, very nice. And Dazzling Domenica looks like she'll be okay with Corrales. And then on Saturday night, they had the Saturday night card, and at Churchill in the stake, it was Twilight Gleaming, as kind of, you know, everybody sort of acquiesced. She was 30 cents on the dollar. However, she absolutely was being closed in on by Divine Charger, Brian Hernandez Jr. again, and just able to last at the finish under Gaffleone. So Twilight Gleaming wins that Mamzelle, but not exactly the way a 2-5 shot when you bet them, if you bet them. Not exactly the way you expect. Ian Wilkes, whose barn is seems to be clicking. Walkathon at even money won the seventh that started that sequence. And that nice Quick to Blame. You got a very interesting, if you watch how Brad Cox is very clever placing the horses. I mean, they lost Quick to Blame, but you know, this is a horse that kept really good company. And in fact, Ethereal Road beat him. You might remember at, that was one of the Oaklawn feature days. And who else? Curly Tail, Call Me Jamal, Call Me Midnight. So, I mean, he was beaten by stake horses. Western River beat him in his final maiden special weight start. So they drop him down a notch to maiden 50, and he wins. But he got claimed. So Gary Mary West, and this happens to be a Jane Lyon bred colt, and still a colt, so Quick to Blame. And then there was the stake that we mentioned, Safi Joseph and Slam Dunk with Allworthy in that allowance sprint later on, and then the anchor leg of the pick four and pick five, you had James Kelly and Blazing Forest Stable with a Flincher filly that was bred by Gunpowder. Robin's Fantasy came flying at 20-1 to finish things off, and that that gave the you know, considering you had a 3-5 and a 2-5 in the sequence, ended up, if you found Robin's Fantasy, that boosted your return. So there you go. There's Churchill. So we've got a lot of the weekend results in. Did I miss anything else? That's about it. All right. The rest of this we'll fold it in as the morning continues, and it'll continue next, 10 o'clock on a Monday with Johnny D. We're live at Pimlico, back after this.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for
video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick. And